Hey, good morning, everybody. I guess it's not easy to either drag yourselves out of bed at such an early hour. For sure, for those of you who managed to do so, to refrain from going off and to wherever everybody else is off to. But anyway, let's get started on the shiur. The Maamar Kumos on the Shtender, if you haven't taken them. To start the shiur, and if we have a little bit of extra time, probably not too much, just maybe a little short verse on the parsha. I didn't put up an exact title on the sign that the Ilana made, because I mentioned it to somebody and they seemed to think like it was a boring title, so I just had like little sub-questions that we're going to talk about. It really falls under the category of various types of food under certain circumstances that might be harmful. Either physically harmful or spiritually harmful. Things that you may know about and things that you may, the Chalal never had a clue about. Some of these issues may be things that are very common for you. Some of them are not so common. But in any event, various times, you know, somebody comes along and says, what's the story with not peeling your onions, or what's with sparzim and tuna melt, or bagels and lox and cheese, etc. So let's talk a little bit about it and get some clarity. So start off in verse number one. It is in the Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch Yerideya. Shulchan Aruch says as follows: Tzarech lizoher shelo leachol basar v'dog biyachad nivnei shekasha l'tzarat. I think many of you know that on Shabbos day, serving gefilte fish, there has to be the fish fork and the fish plate. Like, what's the story with that? Like, there's nothing except plate shakes and there's fish. So what's the story with the fish? So the din in Shulchan Aruch, based on the Gemara in Masechet Pesachim, says that one should not eat meat and fish together because it could lead to tzara'at. That's what the Shulchan Aruch passes. Now, why is this so? Because the Gemara talked about a certain kind of fish that if you ate it, a fish called a benisa, that if you ate it together with meat, it could bring about tzara'at. And therefore the Shulchan Aruch passes that you have to stay away from eating meat and fish together. Now the question is, what does it mean to eat them together? So the Rama writes in source number one, V'chein ein litzlot basar and dog, not only should you not eat them together, but you shouldn't roast them together, mishum recha. Miu b'di'evet ein o'asa. What does it mean? It means that if I have them cooking in an oven together, but the meat is here, the fish is here. So what happens if they're cooking together? The meat and the fish don't touch each other. But the recha, the aroma of the meat goes into the fish. The aroma of the fish goes into the meat. So that also I shouldn't do. I shouldn't, in my oven, bake meat and fish together. However, says the Rama, b'di'evet, it's not awesome. Meaning if I cook meat and fish in my oven together, but they were one next to each other, not literally on top of each other, l'chatchila I shouldn't have done it, but b'di'evet I can eat the meat and I can eat the fish. What can't I do even b'di'evet? So the Taz, to the left-hand side, writes that miu b'di'evet ain't awesome, ain't a berech l'chud, that's only aroma. Aval l'nizbash l'yachad asur maf b'di'evet. If I were to put meat and fish in the same pan and literally cook them together, then even b'di'evet, I can't do that. I can't eat it. So there are two things I can't eat. In other words, to take a sandwich and put a piece of meat and a piece of fish and put on top of it and bite into it together, to eat them together, that's asur. And if they were actually cooked together in the same pot, then I can't eat neither the meat nor the fish, even if I was to eat one, each one separately, because they were cooked together. If they were baking in the oven, l'chatchila, I shouldn't do it in separate pans, but b'di'evet, I'm allowed to eat it. What about use baking fish, in a meat pot, right? What we call fleishik, what our British friends call meaty, right? If I have a meaty or a fleishik pot, can I cook my fish? There's no meat in the pot, but do I need to have a separate fish pot? So the Taz, in source number two, writes as follows. Shein sakana b'achilas dog she is botan basar. Bameshin is basho b'kli ben yomo shal basar. Darmina b'gemara d'habi achlu dogim shalu b'kahara. There's no problem in using a fleshic pot to cook your meat, even if the pot is ben yomo. What does it mean, the pot's ben yomo? Exactly. It's been used in the last 24 hours for meat. In other words, I cook meat in the pot, I take the meat out, I wash it out, and then 5 minutes later I want to put fish in that pot. The pot says that's not a problem, even a chatila. A chatila I'm allowed to, I don't need a separate fish pot for cooking. Okay, that's the basic halacha. However, two things to keep in mind. Number one, the Torah writes that there are some people who actually have a separate fish pot. Personally, I don't know, but it could be. There may be some people who are more machmir than the Taz. Maybe, you know, some people, and that's the pot that you make it fill the fish in. It's not used for fleshic, for real meat. So there could be machmir in the ikar, then it's not a problem, as the Taz writes. Secondly, even though the Rama wrote that if they're baked in the same, if they're baked in the oven simultaneously, but in separate pots, the chatchila, you shouldn't do it, but the evid, you can eat it. The Shach quotes the Shuvah from the Be'er Sheva that even b'di'evet you shouldn't eat it. So everyone agrees, l'chatchila, you shouldn't bake meat and fish simultaneously in your oven. B'di'evet, the Ramah is making, and there are some achronim who are machmir, even b'di'evet. Okay. I had my gefilte fish as the first course. I want to have cholent as my second course. Is it necessary? I'm not going to eat the chas, the shalom, the gefilte fish with the cholim together. I have a separate fish plate, a separate fish fork. What's the story? Do I have to do anything in between eating the gefilte fish and eating the cholim with me? It's a fleshic cholim. So the Shulchan Aruch in source 4 quotes the machlokas between the Mechaber and the Ramah. The Mechaber writes, Yirkos Yadav Bein Basa Ledag V'yochal pas shori bein tayin kedei lichot spit. Two things I have to do between eating the fish and the meat. What's the first thing? Wash your hands. Why do you have to wash your hands? Because I may have touched the fish with my hands, and then maybe I'll touch the meat with my hands. Could be. Even if you use a knife and fork, you're not so careful. It's a similar law between eating milk with some fleshing. Right, that you have to wash your hands in between, because maybe you touch the cheese blintzer, and then you're going to eat a salami sandwich. And if you didn't wash your hands in between, maybe some of the cheese got stuck in your fingers, you're not paying attention to it. So you have to wash your hands, and what's the second thing you have to do? You eat bread soaked bread, usually soaked in wine, because what's the purpose? What do you have to do with your mouth? You have to basically wash it out. So if you have a bread that's soaking with wine, and you chew on it, so the liquid will squeeze out, and you have to wash your mouth out in between. Because what could very possibly be in your mouth? Residue of gefilte fish, and you can choose to eat the meat. They have to do that. That's what the Mechaber writes. Comes along the Ramah, he says, V'yesh omen vein lachish lazeh. Now, there are those who say we're not worried about this. Lachish emivash lam yachad vachlam. We're only worried if you eat them together. They were cooked together, you eat them. But if you ate them fish, and then you ate the meat, and they were cooked separately, and you're not eating them simultaneously, one after the other, you don't have to worry about it. You don't have to wash your hands. You don't have to wash out your mouth. אבל לא אוכלן זכר זה אין לוחוש, וכן אוגן, שלא לכל ספר ולא הידיים ביניהם. That's our minhag. We don't wash out our mouth, and we don't wash our hands in between. But there's a bit of a but. מכל מקום, יש לכל דבר ביניהם ולשתות. דבי כינוח והדפה. It's a good idea in between the gefilte fish and the meat. What should you do? Chew something else, not fish, not meat. A piece of bread, a piece of potato kugel, and chew something in between, and also drink something. You don't have to gargle, you don't have to wash your hands, but it's a good idea to chew something and wash something, because nevertheless, what could still be in your mouth? A little bit residue of it, so if you chew something in between, it doesn't have to be a lot, and you drink something in between, that's fine. Based on this comes a minhag. Obviously, it's not an MMY minhag, as you'll see in a moment why. But there is a minhag that some people have, and that's in source number 5. Ayin bagmara denuvua misham detov lishtos mayim achadak. And there are those who say it's a good idea to drink water after fish. Uvatosos sham katsu dayom choshishim bazel v'sakon mishtan atev. Now we don't drink water after fish for some reason. It's dangerous. The Kesef Mishnah cuts of the Talil if you have a Rotos, it depends. Some places it's a problem, some places it's not. The Efsha, the Mehai Tama Shosim Ayom Acha Dogim Yash. What's Yash? Yayin Sarah, which is whiskey. You may see, maybe in Chassidish households, maybe other households, in between the fish and the meat, what do they do? You're a little bit of schnapps. As I said, this is obviously not an MMY, you know? But there are people who bedafka between the fish and the meat have schnapps. Now there are some people who have schnapps before the fish, between the fish and the meat, after the meat. They're very machmir. They don't between every single bite they have some schnapps. So that after they cut up. But that's the source of the minhag. The source of the minhag was that the Rambam who writes that even if we don't soak bread and wine and chew it and really rinse our mouth out very well, you should still drink something in between. There were those who drank water, and those who said water isn't so healthy. Water isn't so healthy, drink schnapps. It sounds a little strange, but there were nevertheless those who did that. Let me finish one more source. No, actually I want to finish two more sources, so I'll take your question now. No, so, yeah. Are Svardim more machmir like the... I don't know what the minhag is among Svardim. It's a good question. Do they... Are they knowing like the mechaber that in between the fish and the meat, they actually wash their hands? I don't know what the custom is among Svardim.
And soaking bread and
the wine. Yeah, the two things obviously go hand in hand. Could be that even the Svardim are more... make a, not, they don't always pass them like the mechaber. I don't know. Yeah, it doesn't matter whether it's meat, fish, or fish, meat. I think it's just many homes, like a filter fish is the first course and the meat comes a little bit later, but in theory it could work the other way around. Yeah.
The point of the
shabbos is
that even
though
you shouldn't eat fish
and meat that are so connected. Even with the even if it's been cooked, once it's been cooked you shouldn't eat it. Yeah.
So are you allowed to cook fish in our meat oven without meat in the oven with it, or is that we use the meat that way?
Yeah, talking about mamish at the same time. Okay, again, it could be machmirim, but that would be a chumra on top of the chumra. Now, there's a very interesting comment that the Mishnah Berurah makes in source number 6. In Shulchan Aruch HaRechaim, we had source number 1 with Shulchan Aruch Yehudei. In source number 6 of Shulchan Aruch HaRechaim, it says, Ben Batzel Nedogim Chovel Lito. You have to wash your hands. That's the mechaber l'shitaso. Mishum zekasha l'dabar acher, because it could cause the other thing, the tarat. It's interesting. Like, you know, some people, when they want to talk about cancer, they don't want to say the word cancer, so they talk about, in Yiddish they would say yena machla, means that disease. Like, you don't want to say the words. It's interesting. It says it's difficult for that other thing. They don't want to say tarat. The chamira sakanta me isura. It's a very important klal. What does it mean, chamira sakanta me isura? Ever hear the klal in the room? Dangerous things are more chamer than other things. In other words, if eating meat and fish together is dangerous, that's more chamer than just things that are asur. Now says the Mishnah Berurah, L'davar Acher Tzaras, Da'ayin b'magen Avram, Shekosav de'efsha de'bizmaneinu ein sakana kol kach, de'kam advarim nishtanu advarim. Could be that in our days, it's not so dangerous, because we see that certain things, nature has changed. What's leading the Magen Avram to say this? Possibly, he says, listen, there are a lot of people out there who eat meat and fish together and they don't get tzara. Don't get tzara. Aye, the Gemara says you do get tzara. It could lead. The Gemara doesn't say it will lead, but it could. could be, maybe if it's manenu, it's not such a problem. The line is tanatev. Now, the lesson of the Magen Avraham is a little strange. He says, ein sakanat kol kach. What does kol kach mean? Not so much of a sakana, but so what are you doing? We look around here. People don't seem to get tzaraas. We need eating fish together. So the Chasam Sofer writes as follows. In source 7. Ibrahim Mahamar Shal, Perigid Anasha, Sofsim and Tedvav Kata, the Nidalo Evi Arambam Hach. The Rambam never quotes this din that you can't eat meat and fish together. Near it in the fee otsem chachmaso yoda ve'evin shenishtanu atvoyim de'inyan ve'akmo shekotsu tosu sofer come to my katna now. The Marshal suggests that maybe the Rambam felt that it's no longer a problem. He was a big doctor and he said, no, things changed. Not that the Gemara was wrong, but things have changed. No longer brings about tzara. The hashtag. And now, says the Chasam Sofer, if so, so does that mean nowadays we can eat fish together? He says, no. You can't eat fish together. Why not? Because even if we don't see the danger involved, but once Chazal said it was us, it's like Chazal made it clear you can't eat mean fish together. The reason may no longer be applicable, but you can't eat mean fish together. Nevertheless, he says, "Mishum hachianu nizharim, we're careful. Uminagav oseinu Torah. Mikomakom mervachnu sheyatzonu mechamiras sakanta." What does the Mishnah, what does the Shulchan Aruch say? You have to be more machmir with sakana than with iser. And if eating meat and fish together is sakana, you should be very machmir about it. You may not have to be very machmir about it anymore. It may have to be, how should we say, reduced itself to the level of only Iser and not Iser plus Sakana. Because we don't see the danger involved. Nevertheless, if Chazal said one should eat mean fish together, and Midori Dora, we don't eat mean fish together, so don't eat mean fish together. But it's not necessarily on the level of a Chumra of Sakana, it's just something that's awesome. Which might, again, mean that certain chumros no longer are applicable. And I don't know, again, Michal asked, are Svardim still machmir about washing their hands, etc. Like, very machmir about it. Could be that nowadays we don't go to such chumros and we just don't eat meat and fish together. There are those who also claim that this whole din is based on a Gemara that said that you shouldn't eat a Benisa fish with meat. Someone has suggested maybe the whole problem of eating the Benisa fish. That's not the way it is in Shulchan Aruch, because in Shulchan Aruch it just talks about the bus of a duck. It doesn't say what kind of duck. But in any event, the minhag still stands, and I think people see all the time that people have a fish fork and a fish plate, and if you're not given two forks, then at least you should clean it off. If you have gefilte fish, and you're not given a separate fork, so you should, if you can wash it off, you should wash it off. If not, you should clean it very well with a napkin before you use it to feed meat. Yeah. Okay. Now source number 8. Topic number 2. You can't eat meat and milk together. I think you all know that, right? What kind of meat can't be eaten with milk? So, meat d'oraisa, only gdi and like it, only behemoth, only beef can't be eaten with milk. Meat d'rabbanan, poultry can't be eaten with milk. Chicken and milk, turkey and milk, duck and milk, right? That's meat d'rabbanan. The same thing, venison, deer meat. Like, there's all sorts of meat in milk, only meat d'rabbanan. What about other formal living creatures and milk? Like fish. Fish is a living creature. What a living creature. So can I eat fish and milk? Can I eat chagavim and milk? What are chagavim? Grasshoppers, right? The Torah tells us there are four kinds of kosher grasshoppers. We Ashkenazim no longer have a Masorah. There are some Sfaradim that still have a bit of a Masara, and do eat Chagavim. A few years ago there was a locust plague in Eilat. And they claimed like a bunch of, I don't know, maybe Moroccans, they were like rushing down to Eilat to pick up the Chagavim and... But we don't, Ashkenazim certainly don't have Masara, and even many Sephardim no longer eat it. We've lost the Masara. But they're living creatures, so they were living creatures. Can you eat them with milk? So the Beit Yosef writes, in source number 8, Dogim v'chagov imuta lachlam b'chalav. That is not only not Asa Midoraisa, it's not even Asa Midorabana. Beef and milk is Asa Midoraisa, venison and milk, poultry milk is Asa Midorabana, fish and milk, and grasshoppers and milk are muta. Great prayer, kol habasa asa levasha b'chalav, chutz mi basa dogim v'chagov. That's what Gemara says, you're allowed to eat it together, it's not a problem, basa b'chalav. Because of Iran, and Iran writes, the cave under Lavashal and Shari, since you can cook them together, Masha de la Akhla b'chalav nami Shari, you're allowed to eat them together, the Yisra Basa b'chalav b'lashon b'shalav kei Rachman, the Torah tells us, lo sevashal, kidi b'chalei b'mo, but you can't be mevashal, you can't eat, if you can eat it, you can be mevashal it. The chikas to Iran and Iran, but de la Akhla b'chalav nami Shari. Everything's fine and dandy. Comes along the Beit Yosef here, and he writes another couple of lines, Umikol makom, ein lachol dogim b'chalav mivnei ha-sakana. You can't eat fish and milk together because of sakana. Kemoshin is bar b'tseifa orachayim. Simon Kutayin Gimel. What's he talking about? What's sakana? Who's sakana? The world exists so people can have bagels, lox, and cream cheese. That's the old, that's if you come from the old country. Nowadays, because you can have a tuna melt. Like, what do you mean? What do you mean? Fish and milk together. What's he talking about? Comes along the Darkei Moshe, the Ramah, in the Darkei Moshe, source number 9. He says, below Rehisim Yamai Nizorim Bazet. What do you mean? Every grits and cracker has bagel, blocks, and cream cheese. I'm sure. I mean, how could it have been otherwise? I never saw in my life somebody was in there not to eat milk and fish together. There it doesn't talk about fish and milk. What does it talk about there? Fish and meat. About the call of share. It's permissible to have fish and milk. It must be a misprint. It must be a platas kumus, as they say, a typographical error. The Ramah wasn't, the Beis Yosef wasn't talking about fish and milk. What was he talking about? Fish and meat. We just spent a few minutes discussing fish. That's obviously what he meant. He meant fish and meat. He didn't mean fish and meat. Comes along the Shach in source number 10. Achal Dagim. Kosev Ater is the Canaan. Vizel Lashonah. Mikol Makom. Ein Leachal Dagim B'cholah Mipnei HaSakana. There's again that says you can't eat fish and milk because of sakana. Kemosh is bar chaim sim kufayin gimel. Ad kan l'shono. Ube'emes nimsha achar Beit Yosef. He's just quoting the Beit Yosef shekas of Cain. Avala hu ta'ot. It's a mistake. Ki lo niska sham ele didogim im basa. Take a look, everybody. Open up your chaim sim kufayin gimel. And if you take a look there, what does it say? You have it, by the way, in source number 6. What does it say in source number 6? Bus of a doggy. Why am I talking, man? It's all bus of a doggy. So he says, Abba b'chol of lo shaman of lo reino. B'chol yom av yom and agin and ochi l'bash of doggy b'chol of. Every day we're cooking fish and milk. What's he talking about? Gam b'darkei Moshe yisig ala b'yis yosi b'zeh b'chim b'seh b'ber sheva d'afkuf v'shar achronim yisig ala b'zeh. To Gavishat, Perikates, Hatzol, Imashma, Ve'edya, Delezbe. Like the Gemara talks about that somebody, like if somebody cooked fish and meat together, he shouldn't eat it with puta. He shouldn't eat it with the milk, we can think. Sounds like it's only if the fish absorbs the meat that there's a problem of eating it with the milk, otherwise it's not a problem. He says, It's pasha. This was a printer's error. It was a plate-up schoolness. It was a typographical error. It's a mistake. It's obviously a mistake. the Beit Yosef for other wants, and everybody built up on this, and it's a mistake. Okay, it's a mistake. The problem is, it's not a mistake. Because if you take a look at source number 11, Rabbeinu Bachaye, in his Perush on the Torah, Rabbeinu Bachaye lived way before the Beit Yosef. And Rabbeinu Bachaye in his Perush on Shmos writes, V'chein da'as ha'rofrin v'ta'arovez dog u'gvina. Right, fish and cheese. Shmizbash l'ka'echad shemol v'tchun ha'ra v'chol yad tzara'at. It could be the tzara'at. Now, what you're going to have to tell me is that the same person who was copying over Rabbeinu Bachaye was the one who copied over the Beis Yosef hundreds of years later, made the same mistake, except in one place he wrote, he didn't make exactly the same mistake, because in both places it should have said, Dog Yibu Buster, one place he wrote Cholov, in one place he wrote Zina, in one place he this, and a bad. It's quoted in different sources before the Beis Yosef. There are other sources that talk about it. So it's not, don't rush to say it's a mistake. It may not at all be a mistake. Rav Avadi Yosef in source number 12 writes as follows on page 2. Kulam b'shem osu tshuva chinuch beis Yehuda kasa matzati kasa b'shem ma'aram mitzaka amas shekasa v'beis Yosef shatu lecho dogim b'cholot v'kasa v'achronim shehu ta'us sofer. It's a typographical error. V'tach lama dogim u'batar v'abukala mutar. He accepts the R text. He checked with the doctors. I don't quite understand it. He says fish and butter was okay, but fish cooked with milk was not okay. It was dangerous. That combination of fish and milk was bad. Kayadu ala rofim v'chamiya sakanta neyisura. Stay away from fish and milk. Now, achein maran achida v'machzik bracha kasa v'fi ani yizdaiti nire shebal kochein esar achlom k'mo shekosev ata shetol sof enofo b'beis yosef. The chida was one of the great, great tzaddik poskim, agrees that it's not, that the Beis Yosef is a misprint. It's a typographical error. Says, and one can eat fish and milk together. And that's what he says. Nevertheless, in paragraph 3, Rav Avadi Yosef writes, about b'mkomo seinu nogim lizar b'zeh. We're knowing to be machmir. V'chein kasu aziv chay tzedek, v'b'shut raf pa'olim, v'b'sefer ben ishchai. You have to be machmir fish and milk, fish and cheese. And he writes in his Sikkum, Rav Avadi Yosef, "Yesh li manami lechol dogim b'cholov o im gvina mishum chashash sakana, aval anogim lechol dogim b'chema with just butter rashan lishabim min hagim." That you don't have to be so machmir about. Fish and milk, yes. Fish and cheese, yes. Fish and butter is okay. The Yotze Ashkenaz Nogim Lachabot Zev Yeshla Mamashi Yismok Unaro Naron Pashte. The other day, this is the story. Ashkenazim have no minute to be machmir. No, as far as I know, Ashkenazim always eat fish and milk, fish and cheese, fish and butter. We can have bagels and lox, we can have tuna melt, so far. Amongst the Svaidim, there are definitely machmirim, because the Machaber writes it. And the Yosef says that one should be machmir, they make a little bit fish and butter. But there are some svarim who are somewhat mekel. Maran Achida, as I said, one of the great svarim poskim was mekel. So you may have some svarim, you may see some svarim are makbid on it, and some svarim are not makbid on it. I just want to rub that enough, svarim rub. So he says that he's often machmir, but it's not, you'll see that svarim are not necessarily 100% consistent. Like it could be that on their own they won't eat certain things, but they don't 100%, like that's what's being served. They may come along and they may eat it, they know it to be made a little bit, etc. But in any event, if you do see Svaridim who refrain from eating fish and milk, they didn't necessarily get it raw. Yishlam, they have a reason for it. Yeah.
So if we make that tube mount in one of them, that's the tube that holds the thing, but there's no problem with them eating something else in their leg.
Correct, but they should make sure it's somewhat clean. In other words, if there's residue of cheese left over and they want to just put a piece of fish in there, so for those who are the more machmir, right? Yeah.
So my family doesn't eat milk and fish together, but I always thought that like the amount that you have to be careful is less than fish and meat. So like I could use the same fork, I could get on the same plate of milk and eat it together.
That could very well be. For instance, Rav Avadia Yossi says that fish and butter was considered acceptable. And therefore, it's not a matter of some dairy ingredient with, you know, got mixed into the fish. It was dafka, he says, I guess, cooking it in milk or milk and cheese on it. So, that, what?
It is more makeup.
It seems to me that it is.
Right.
In other words, because it's not any kind of, like, for those who are not, in terms of fish and meat, so if any fish and any meat, you know. So here it's with butter, it was makeup. So you see that there are certain differences. Okay. And it could also be that it's only a certain, since it's not mentioned in the Gemara, so it could be that it's only a certain amount, like a tiny, tiny bit, may not be a problem. All right, but that's the fish and milk. Question. Third issue. Source number 13. So Gemara in Masechet Nidah. Amar Rav Shimon ben Yochai. Chamisha dvarim heim sha'osan asan mischayev benafsho v'damo b'rosho. There are five things that if a person does that, he's placing himself in danger and he's responsible for the consequences. It's on his head. What are they? We're not going to go through all five. One of them is not, like one of them is sleeping in the cemetery. But we're not going to go through all five. First one is Ha'ochel Shum Kalof Batzal Kalof Ubeitza Klufa. Now if I were to stop here, you'd say anybody who ate, what's Shum? Garlic, Batzal, onion, Beitza, egg. Kalof means
peel.
And peel means... What do you mean if you pee the peel diet? You're supposed to eat the egg with the peel on? This line's nice and crunchy, but no. So it continues. Ashosem Ashkim Zugim Sha'avar Aleyan Alayla. Any of these three items, peeled garlic, peeled onion, peeled egg, they were peeled, and then Avar Aleyan Alayla means they stayed peeled with the peel off overnight. And then you ate them the next day. Of course you peel an egg before you eat it. But you peel an egg just before you eat it. If I peeled an egg on Friday afternoon and I ate it Shabbos day and it was without its peel overnight, or I peeled an onion today and cut half of it and used the other half of the onion tomorrow and ate it, it's bad news. The sky of the nafsho. Fidama Barosh. That's what the Gemara said. So what's the story? First of all, why? What's the problem? So the problem is rach ra. No, they don't smell bad. They don't taste bad. Rach ra is some sort of, we know, there are all types of rach ra. There's rach ra that's on your hands in the morning when you wake up. Like there's all kinds of rach ra. There's some rach ra, different kinds, that affect food. And it's bad for you. It's dangerous. If you get this rach ra inside you through food, it can be harmful. It's interesting. For instance, in the morning, the halacha is you have to remove the rach ra from your hands. And you have to be careful before you wash the tefillah yadayim in the morning to touch any aperture in your body. You shouldn't touch your ears, you shouldn't touch your nose, you shouldn't touch your mouth. In other words, if I didn't wash my hands in the morning and I touched here, that's not dangerous. If I touched here, it's not dangerous. But if I touch my ear, that's already dangerous. Rock, rock can be harmful. We don't know exactly how, but it can be. So if it gets into the food, it's harmful, and peeled onions, garlics, and eggs left overnight get rach ra. don't eat them. Comes along Rav Moshe Feinstein in Gross Motion, source number 14, and he says as follows. He may be asked how the Rav Shimon by Yochai Shika Sakona Bishum Batzal Ubeitza, so you clue for me, ask him of ever lay in a Laila, Lohuva Vishulchan Aruch. This din is mentioned in the Gemara, but you can search all four halakim of Shulchan Aruch and you won't find it there. Not that I search, but if Rav Moshe says it's not there, it's not there. Lo b'divrei ha-machaber, v'lo b'divrei ha-ramah. The machaber doesn't quote it, the ramah doesn't quote it. Hashem mefuash b'gemara sakana dika la'ochel. Even though the Gemara says it's a problem. Hashuva b'shulchan aruch ha-tetafshu l'mashkin tachas hamita b'yodayitim kuktet zayin tzitzit hei, shuach ra'ashor aleyim. The Shulchan Aruch quotes other dinim about Ruach Ra's food. It's not embarrassed to talk about the problems of Ruach Ra with food. But this thing isn't quoted. Absalom huska b'gemara isar achila b'shvil zeh. Even though the Gemara doesn't say it's us to eat, what does the Gemara say? What if it doesn't say it's us to eat? It's just as if you eat it, it's bad for you, and it's dangerous, and it's on your own head, etc. Shalachin ulai mashmash shesavah Shulchan Aruch v'amad v'din d'rav shumim b'yachai hu rag das yachid. V'abon pligi alav ki b'chazinim shal Yerushalmi lo hizkizeh. Yerushalmi doesn't mention it. Maybe the Shulchan Aruch feels we don't pass it like Rav Shimon bar Yochai. Who says we pass it like Rav Shimon bar Yochai? We don't pass it like every opinion ever quoted in the Gemara. So maybe we don't pass it like Rav Shimon bar Yochai. Maybe that's why the Shulchan Aruch never quoted it. He thought it was dangerous, but the Chacham disagreed. They said it's not dangerous. And then he writes as follows. Ubedachei tshuva, sifkat anayin dalda, matzah shishevi, misefer shelich, and tshuva, yad meir. The heshev lechacham echad, amasha olam ein yisarim bazeh. He says, the oilam, you know what the oilam is? Most people, they're not careful about overnight kept eggs, onions, garlic. Because of the mishum delo, b'china mishmito atur v'amechad, v'chol ha-poskim din zeki, me'erishom imash medein bazeh, yisum mitzad ruach rov zman hazeh. So that's because they're not doing something wrong. The Torah doesn't quote it, the Machabi doesn't quote it, the Ramah doesn't quote it, the Yerushalmi doesn't quote it. We probably don't pass in this way. Okay, Nyofim and Agim Shul Yisrael saying Yisarim lo b'shum kalev lo b'beitzik rufa. So that, the Minhag Yisrael makes a lot of sense. The Moshe doesn't understand why it's b'zman hazeh. Akopan and Ikaman the Silver King. There are those who say you don't have to worry about this. Ubisofsev katan zeh evi lehipoch mishud bei shlomo dafla mekim b'shad varm and eskarm b'shas kigom ba'ochal amash kintachas anit yesh ma'ach mebein lugim adbom d'apshu bar yuchai b'achal b'mufush b'gmar b'inyan achila. Because then there are those who say, no, you have to be really careful. So the Dafla Tshuva quotes two opinions. There are those who are not careful about this at all. They say it's not a problem, you don't have to worry about it. No, it's okay, it's fine. And there are those who say, no, you got to be really careful about this. More careful than when people are about other things, you got to be careful about this. The Moshe's conclusion is, in the last line, of Aladina Afsharoi La'achne B'gmara Kedidin Mishum Afshim B'yachai. The Moshe says it's best to be machne. One should be careful. Now, what does it mean? The Gemara says it's dangerous. There are poskim who don't quote this La'alacha. And therefore there are later poskim who say, we don't pass in this way. But there are poskim who say, you should be careful about it. I think that many, many people are careful about this. And one should, it's probably a good idea to be careful about this, but there are certain things to keep in mind, there are certain exceptions to the rule. Source number 15. Beit Hashum or Batzal, Klufim Shav Aleihem Aleihem, Masur Bachilim Neshuach Rashur Aleihem, Afiluhem Atufim V'chatumim. What does that mean?
I wrap it up very well. I put it in a Ziploc bag, two Ziploc bags, saran wrap, aluminum foil, etc. Under lock and key. So I kept out the raw frost. Does it help? The answer is no. Nevertheless, Misharu afilu ma'at nikliposeyam aleihen, o nishar haseyar sheberosh hashum ol batzal mutari. If I left, especially with an onion, if I didn't take off the peel totally, I left a little bit of the peel on, then that's fine. Well, if the onion and garlic, you know, it sometimes it comes with those hairs, like stick out. If I left some of those hairs on, that's fine. Meaning, very often, you only need half an onion.
So what you do is just don't peel the whole onion. Peel part of the onion and leave a little bit of the peel, a little bit of the peel on it, and that's fine. And then you can keep it for days. Or if you have an onion with the hair sticking out, use the bottom half of the onion first and leave those hairs sticking out from the top. And you want to use the other half, so then remove. So that's fine. The next pattern. Ubeitza and Yudbet. Ubeitza shum o batzal shekvar meuravim bisalat o betapshil shuv einam nesarim. What's the second thing? If it's mixed in with the salad or with the dish, in other words, it's not just the onion by itself, not just the egg by itself, then it's fine. If you put salt on it, or you put some oil on it, it's not a problem. So what happens if I want to make egg salad on Friday to serve on Shabbos? So if I mixed in the egg, mayonnaise, which has oil and salt, or whatever it is, so that's fine. That's okay. So if it's mixed in, or it's cooked together, right, with onions, sometimes you make, what do you make, chicken and something, so like cucumber salad. And you have onions, and you made it before, but you put vinegar, and it's not just sitting by itself, then that's okay. One moment. Turn the next page. Turn to the next page, on the top of page 3, source 15. Avkat beitzit. What's that? Some sort of egg powder. Oh, avkat shuman, garlic powder. Yeshenotu lahakel ulishtamish ben bachila af sha'aber aleihem alayla. There are those who are makel regarding that as well, because it's not in its standard form. It's already in its powdered form. And he writes in the footnote that the minhag of Eretz Yisrael is to makel about the egg powders. Kamochen yesh hiter agirat chalmonim vechalbonim al manat lemacham lebatei afia. I'm not quite sure, but I think industrial settings and factories, they have like egg whites and egg yolks or something, and they store them up like they just... So, there are those who are making regarding that. He quotes in footnote Nun Tet at the bottom that what's also is things that are normally peeled just before you eat them, so then you can't peel them a day ahead of time. But when you're dealing with the factories which store these things, the whole industry has worked on storing up egg whites and egg yolks and collecting them, etc. So he says there's more room to be makel, and I think if I'm correct that's what the Vadea Kashrut do give up sharing on things that use egg whites and, or yolks or whatever it is that were peeled ahead of time and stored up in the factory. Obviously, they shouldn't spoil, that's for sure. But even though it stayed overnight, and that's a hazard. So basically, the bottom line is what you have to be worried about is most people, I don't think, peel eggs and just leave them unpeeled overnight without chopping them up. I think people will usually peel the eggs just before they want to use them. And if they do peel them ahead of time, it's usually because they're putting into a salad right then and there. We're making an egg salad, which isn't a problem. So the problem may be with garlic or onions, so if you only you need half of it. So then leave a little bit of the peel on, and you have, and you're okay. Yeah. You shouldn't, if you don't want to put any salt in, or any oil, just pure mashed up egg, so then you should not do that the day before and let it stay overnight. If you did it, the simple solution is, unless you're on a totally salt-free diet, is just sprinkle a little bit. I think you'd probably need more than one grain of salt, but you don't need a lot of salt. Just sprinkle a little bit of salt on it, and that will solve your problem. You put a little bit of mayonnaise or whatever it is. Okay. Yeah.
People put in salt water anyway, right? They don't put a little salt on.
the sultan, that solves it. I don't understand why it solves the problem, but it's the same thing. Whatever allows the rock to come, the salt seems to be in its pure form. Yeah, yeah, if you put on the salt purely to keep away the rock, it works. Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Putting on the, if it's stored overnight, and then you put the salt on, that won't help. It doesn't get rid of the rock, it prevents it from coming. Okay, the last issue, number four. This is a big issue. Especially if you're going away to summer camp, it could be a problem in a dormitory, but certainly in summer camps, I remember. It's a Gemara at verse 16 that says as follows. Tana, ochlenu mashkin tachat samita. If you have food and drink under a bed, afilu mechupayim bekli barzel. Even if they're covered in a metal container, sealed in a metal container, ruach ra asher aleihem. There's ruach ra. That's the Gemara. This din is fasting in Shulchan Aruch. Right? The shulam, the peel of garlic, wasn't fasting in Shulchan Aruch, but this din is fasting. And in Source 17, it says in the Shulchan Aruch Yoseiah, V'lo yitein tafshil v'lo mashkin tachas tamitam if neshiruach roshor aleihem. And the Shach is on, v'lo mashkin tachas tamitam afilo mechusin, they're wrapped up, they're enclosed in Ziploc bags in a metal container, you know, the trunks. Do people still send trunks to camp anymore? Yeah. Okay. So all these, it doesn't matter. So, ruach roshor aleihem, you shouldn't keep them under your bed. Yoach HaShulchan comes along, and he says this follows. V'lo yitein tafshu v'lo mashkin tafshu samishu k'dinu shulchan aruch, v'shuruach v'asho alayhem, u'mashma da'ochal chai muta. It says you can't put a tafshil underneath. What's a tafshil? A kukdish. That's the lashon of the shulchan aruch. It's not the lashon of the Gemara. The Gemara just said ochal. Shulchan aruch said tafshil. Sounds like raw food would be okay. V'yesh makpidin gam b'ochal chayim. There are people who are careful about raw food. Da'achshav, ein nisharim bazeh. Nowadays, no one's careful about it. V'shom etzoyim Hashem. And Hashem watches over fools. Kevin d'doshu b'hu rabim. So because so many people just do it. There is a concept that certain things are dangerous, but if it becomes so acceptable that a kodesh baruch hu just watches over fools, and it's no longer considered dangerous. Lufiya isra afilo mechusa bekli afilo bebayz alasa. Those who are machmir even if it's covered up. So the Yoach HaShulchan does write that there's man azeh, people aren't careful about this, and he said they may be foolish, but a kodesh baruch hu protects the fools. Nevertheless, the poskim lechatchila certainly are machmir. If you take a look at source number 19, Ochlin amashkin shoyim itachas lamita, b'shah shiyashnu alav shein askeva balayla. Okay, so he says it's after, before he gets there, one thing. First of all, regarding raw food and cooked food, from Yerushalmi it's mashma, only cooked foods, from the Gemara Babli it's mashma, even raw food. Those who are machmir tend to be machmir even by raw food, not only cooked food. All this is lechatchila. What's the story with the other? By the way, many poskim say that keeping it under your bed is only a problem when you're sleeping. In other words, if you go to sleep at night and you take it out from under your bed, and when you wake up in the morning you put it back, you store it under your bed, the Chazon Ish and others write that that's not a problem. So it's only if you're really sleeping for the night that it's a problem. Otherwise, it's not. What's the story of the Abbot? What happens if it's under the bed? Like, so can I shouldn't have done it. I shouldn't have done it. Because if you take a look at the Shulchan Aruch, what does it tell you and what doesn't it talk about? It tells you don't put it under your bed. What doesn't it talk about? If I did, can I eat it or not? So
there are one, two, well, depends how you want to count. The answer is yes or no, so of course there have to be four opinions. Okay, well, I won't read them all inside, but you can take a look. The Vilna Gaon, the Chida, Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, here in source 20. Some of these are quoted by Rav Avadi Yossi, some are in other sources. The Shlomo Zalman is in source 21, the Gaon is called in source 20, and the Chida, the Mufi and Abashal say, if it was under your bed when you slept at night, what should you do? Throw it out. You shouldn't eat it. As you see in Alichos Shlomo, he says, Yashlichem lo yishtamish ben klal. Rav Avadi Yossi personally said that one should be machmir unless it's hefsig merubah. Meaning, it's a small bag of potato chips, so throw it out. If it's a whole pot roast, it's very expensive, and it was doing under your bed, then you could be medical if you haven't eaten it. The Chazon Ish and Rav Yashiv, and they're quoted in Source 22, I'm not quite sure why, but they said in the source of the bottom that what you can do with them is give them to aniyim. Explain why. Poor people. Who cares what happens to them? So the idea is as follows. There's a certain degree of sakana in us, but mitzvot can protect us from sakana. If I use the food for a mitzvah, then I'm protected from sakana, and the people who are using it for the mitzvah are protected. And therefore, to give it to aniyim, they'll be protected from the sakana. Now, it wouldn't make any sense to say give it to aniyim, and then they have to throw it out, because then it's not being used for the mitzvah. So therefore, they say that there is a certain degree of danger, but a mitzvah will protect you. Therefore, give it over to the aniyim, and everyone will be fine. And finally, the Shusyakov, Rabbi Kiva Eger, the Adifrayim, a number of Gedolei Achronim say that b'di'eved, one can eat. In other words, the whole issue is a lechatchila issue, it's not good, but if it's done, you don't have to throw it out, and b'di'eved, you can eat it. They do say that something, like if it's food, you should wash it off. It's good to wash it three times, I guess like the Gedolei Achronim back in the morning. Obviously, potato chips won't do you much good to watch. You're going to sit there with a couple of months, right, left, right, left, right, right. It's not going to work with potato chips. But let's say with food, anything that can be washed would be good to wash it off. So you have those who are totally machmir, so throw it out. Those who are machmir, unless it's hefsig merubah, those who say do it in a mitzvah and it'll be fine. And there are those who say that lechatchila, you shouldn't do it with the evet, yesham al isma. Lechatchila, therefore, you should be personally careful about this, and you have to figure out a system in camp. And I don't know if they still do, but when I'm in my days, people used to keep food on their beds all the time. So you personally should figure out a system about keeping at least your food from underneath, not sleep under it. So in other words, at night you take it out from under your bed, in the day you put it back under if nobody's sleeping. So you can do that. I don't know whether this is the issue that you have to drive your campus crazy about. And again, you have to figure, before you drive them crazy, is there a solution? Is there an easy solution? Like if you had like an extra set of cubbies, and you can stuff cubbies in camp? Yeah. An extra set of cubbies in camp, so you have a place to keep everything, so that would be fine, but if it's going to get lost, I don't know. You don't have to drive everybody crazy about it. I guess there'll be someone on the Aruch HaShulchan, someone studying Hashem, Hashem will watch over food. But personally, at least, you should be careful and not keep your food under the bed. Even if it's sealed, it's not going to solve the problem. Okay, so those are the four issues. Meat and fish, meat and milk, peels, garlic, eggs, and onions, and food under the bed. Okay, I just want to talk a little bit about just a brief idea about the parasha. Parasha Shlach, we talk about the Meraglim. I saw an interesting voice from the Kotzker. The Meraglim once already they're starting to, you know, at the beginning they start talking nicely, and then they start talking not so nicely. And they write as follows, they see the Basa'arif, they should tell us all the Nay Israel Lamar, they possibly speak Lashonar, but Eretz Yisrael. The land that eats its dwellers, everybody there is of giant size. The Shemra'inu at Anafilim, B'nei Anak min Anafilim, we see the Nafilim, the Anak and the giants. And we were like Chagavim, we had it today. Grasshoppers in their eyes. In our eyes we were grasshoppers, and that's how we were in their eyes. The Kotzker comes along and says, this exacerbated the case of the Murad. Mele, if you felt, you're next to the giants, you felt that you were like a grasshopper. But why do you care what they felt about you? It should bother you what the guy you think about you. And you come to, as they looked at us as grasshoppers, who cares? So some guys should jot and think you're a grasshopper and if it should bother you? Why are you so worried about it? Just the verse of the culture. Just in that light. Kitzur Shulchan Aruch says in the first sentence, when he quotes the Mishnah Pirkei Avos, Yehuda ben Tema Omer, Have oz kanome vekal kanesher, rats katzvi vigibor kari, lason yutzon avicha shabashamayim. Oz kanome, you should be strong or mighty as a leopard. Perusho shalo yidbayesh mitnei bnei adam hamaligan alav b'avodas Hashem yizbarach. If you're doing avodas Hashem, you're doing the right thing. That's very important, doing the right thing. But if you're really doing the right thing, you're doing Avodas Hashem Yisbarach, don't be embarrassed that people are making fun of you. What do you care that somebody's making fun of you? If you know you're doing the right thing, and you're doing it properly, you're not trying to do it in your face, you're not trying to show off, you're just doing what's supposed to be done. So don't worry what everybody who's making fun of you is thinking. That was the case in the Murad. They weren't doing anything wrong. They were doing, they want a shlichut from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, from Moshe Rabbeinu. Who cares that they think that you're a locust, you're a grasshopper? You're doing the right thing, you're doing the right thing. And that's the message we should keep in mind. Have a good day.